2 Corinthians, first chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, and in its simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to youward. For we write none other things unto you than that we than what we ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you unto Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use likeness, or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your wonderful word, the Bible, God's wonderful word. And I thank you once again today for this privilege we have to gather here tonight. Thank you for all who's come. And Father, we trust it'll be a time that your name will be lifted up and honored. And Lord, tonight, you'll help us to learn to trust in you more than we ever had. Oh God, we know that's your desire. We want, Father, our expectation to come from you. Lord, that's who it needs to be in. And so, Father, I trust tonight that we'll just help to establish that in our hearts. And then when all is said and done, Father, we'll just thank and praise you for your goodness and kindness and grace toward us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure you've discovered by now that there's many things that come into our life that brings us to a greater strength in the Lord. I'm sure that you have realized that there's difficulties that come sometimes into your life that you did not expect, or you did not ask for, or possibly you might not even want it, but they come anyway. God has a way of doing that, and he does that, of course, as we've told you many times, to strengthen us and help us and build our faith. Over in verse 8 and 9 here that we read to you today, we find, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead." The Apostle Paul is given the account here of the time back in the book of Acts, the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, where he was at Ephesus. It was was a very difficult time. He was almost to the place where they was ready to kill the Apostle Paul and kill some of those that was with him. I know Gaius was one of them, and Christus, I believe, was the other one that was with him at that time. And they run on to some very definite difficulties to the place where, you know, the silversmith had raised up, and they was saying that Paul was telling everybody there was no gods made with hands. And of course, this is how they had made their great wealth. And so a great uproar came, and they was crying out, the Bible said, for a space of 2 hours, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And so it was a very serious time. Paul said he thought he had the sentence of death. In other words, he thought he was going to possibly die at that time. And so I simply am saying that because there's a lot of outward pressures that come upon us. But there's also those little foxes. Those little foxes that spoil the vine. There's those little trifle things that happen sometimes that are such a discouragement to us. It seems like that we can kind of make it when we face those big things, and they may be tough and they may be difficult, but seem like we get through them and we've grown, you know. But it seems like those little trifle things just seem to hang on. And I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about tonight. Apostle Paul said it there in verse number 9, but in God which raises the dead. We trust not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. What I guess I want you to do tonight is when you walk from this place, I want you to know you have a God whom you can trust. And I want you to know, yes, old Apostle Paul said it there in verse number 11. He said because of your prayers, he depended upon the people for praying for him. He depended on them. And me, you and I depend on one another. Oh, yes, we do. We should. We need each other. We really do need each other. We need each other praying. But when it all comes down to it, where your expectation is, where your trust must be, it must be in God. Now, let me say that. I want you to understand that. And I want you to do it in a balanced way. I don't want you to want to say, I don't need anybody. Well, that's false. You do, because God has designed this world and designed family relationships and church relationships and all kinds of things like that where we do need each other. We certainly do that. I need you as a congregation. If you wasn't here tonight, I would have nobody to preach to. Amen. Whether you understand it or not, you need me as a preacher. I'm the preacher. God has put me here, and you need me here as a preacher because God has set it up that way. So do we need each other? Oh, yes, we need each other, no doubt about it. But when you get down to the very bottom line, God wants us to remember, as Paul said here, it's in God that I trust. I'm following his plan. I'm working. I'm doing according as he said. We work with one another. We do all of these things. But the bottom line is, it is God that we trust. Now, what happened was a little thing here happened, and I'm going to talk to you about it in verse number 15 and 16. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. I'm just going to go over to, if you, it's one page in my Bible. I don't know what it is in your Bible. If you'll go back to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 5th verse, Paul had said that he was going to come and see them at Corinth. He was going to visit them. In verse number 5, he says, now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you. And he puts on the end of that, he says, if the Lord permits. And you know what? That is always true. You know, we human beings can say we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And sometimes God puts something up, a stop sign up. He puts something in our way that we do not get to do that. Now, he's not talking about here that we ought to be frivolous, as he's going to say here to those at Corinth. We ought not to be frivolous in making some kind of promise. Paul meant that he was going to come and see them. But God did not permit it. He did not permit him to go out of Macedonia the way that he had intended to go and come there to Corinth and be there with him. He did not allow that. Well, what happened was they then began to accuse him of not basically keeping his word. And so this, as I said, and I call it a trifle thing, but it is not, come to be a trifle thing, but they was accusing him of not keeping his word. And he was answering that and talking to them about that. And in a way, because of who he was defending himself and letting them know that this is what happened. He couldn't help it. God did not permit it. But they was accusing him of this. Now, let me say to you, sometimes outside things and pressures from the outside can really get to us. There's no doubt about that. But a lot of times it's that little fox that someone doesn't think you're doing right, and you've done everything under the sun to do right. But some individuals, and that's what it was here, was accusing the Apostle Paul of not keeping his word. Okay, so again, I'm just simply saying to you, through this, and I believe that's what God done, through this, God began to certainly to help remove from the Apostle Paul his dependence upon people. Now again, listen to me. Be careful with this. Don't say, Pastor Ross, I don't need anybody. You know better than that. Husbands need wives, and wives need husbands, and children need parents, and church members need each other, and they need preachers, and preachers need congregations, and we need each other. But what he's saying and what is happening here in the Apostle Paul's life is, you know what, if they don't think I did right, you know, it's I did right, I know I did right, I done exactly what I could do, and I'm not going to worry about what they think about me. My dependence is upon God. Okay, now have you got that in balance? You don't get it out of balance. Okay, don't just be one of these people who said, I don't need anybody. No, that's not true. You do need. That's the way God has set it up. Amen. But your bottom line is, folks, I want you to trust in the true and the living God. When you walk from here tonight, and I'm sure you maybe already been doing that, but I want your trust to be in him. You see, I want you to love your preacher tonight. I want you to need the preaching from the Word of God. But I want your trust and dependence to be in God. Amen. If I can accomplish that as a preacher, you see, I don't want your trust to be in me. I want you to trust your preacher and love your preacher. And when I can help you, I want to help you. But I want the bottom line is your faith is that you trust God. Amen. All of these problems he was having, and I mean he was having them, they was difficult things. I mean, he was almost coming, it was a possibility he was going to die. He knew, and although he said they had prayed for him and how wonderful that was, and that was great, but his trust had to be in God for deliverance. Okay? And yours does too. Your God is the one who will take care of you and watch over you. He may use people to help you. He may do all of those things. But it is God that you must trust. Amen? Don't get your trust and your faith in man. You know, I looked out here at the Townsleys, and I just felt like I need to say this real quickly. We got a letter from Brother Luke. We'll be getting it up. It may be already up on the board. But they had a Bible school out there, and they had just a group of people that come. It was 26 youngsters got saved. And you know, and it was just exciting when I read the letter. Sister Betty had told me about it. I read the letter and read the account of that. And there you could tell the excitement that was there. Even in the letter, I could hear the excitement in the letter about what was happening, what they was looking forward to the coming year and what God was doing. 26 young folk down in Dominican Republic got saved, you know. And I just felt like I wanted to tell you that. But you know who did that, all that. I mean, you know it. I know who did all that, but he used Luke and Hannah and the other folk down there. I guess the Phillipses was involved in that. I'm not really sure on that. I don't know. He didn't mention in there. But all I know is this. It was God that used them, and God did it. The dependence must be on God. Amen. That's what it all boils down to. I'm so thankful that we have such a wonderful God, you see. So what he does is God begins to remove from us dependence, the wrong dependence on man. The older I get, and certainly, I have a great dependence on you as a people. But the older I get, I want to tell you, my dependence must be in God. And I'm learning that, and more and more every day that goes by. I love my God, and I know that He loves me. And my dependence, my expectation is going to be in Him. You'll fail me. I'll fail you. But God will never fail us. You understand that? God, it's impossible for Him to fail us. It's an impossibility. Okay? So you remember that wonderful truth. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go here, look at verse number 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you, to youward. There, if you'll notice, he talks about his conversation. He's speaking about his conduct that he had had in the world. He was, and especially toward them. He had spent much time with them and dealt with them. And that's why a little bit amazed at their accusations that he did not do what he was supposed to do. He said, you know, I've lived the life before you. I've lived a good life. My conduct has been good before the world. It's been good before you. He's talking about since he had been saved, been God's child. So he's talking to him here. And in fact, over in 1 Corinthians, I think it's the 2nd chapter of 1 Corinthians. I just want to read to you about 4 or 5 verses there. And here you find a lot of the heart of God, of the Apostle Paul, and what he thinks about all this and what he's trying to do. In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, he says, "And I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power." And verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Apostle Paul came when he said, "Listen, all I want to preach to you, all I want to tell you about is Jesus and Him crucified. He's your Savior. He's the one who'll save you. He's the one who'll take care of you." He said, "I didn't come with enticing words." In other words, words that maybe a person with great abilities could entice people with. He said, "I did not do that." He said, "I did not come in the world wisdom of this world. No. I come in the wisdom of God." Why? So that your faith would be in God. See, that's so important. You know, men can get in the way. I want your faith. God wants your faith. God wants your faith in Him. Now that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. That's what he's trying to get over to them. That's why in verse number 12 he talked about not with fleshly wisdom. He didn't come with fleshly wisdom. No, he's not trying to get people to look to him. He's trying to get people to look to God. Amen. So that's a wonderful thing. That's something we all ought to do. Let's point everybody to God. Amen. So He's the one. Amen. We work with each other. We talk with each other. We deal with each other. We help one another. Yes, we do. But it's God. Amen. It's God whom we must trust. So He tells us in verse number, going back to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, in verse number 13, "For we write none other things unto you than that we read, that ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part." He said, "You've acknowledged us in part." And I believe there, he's talking about there's some there at Corinth. You got to remember, he founded this church. He's the one that founded this church. He was the one that stayed there for quite a while and helped them to grow, helped the church to grow and learn, you see. And he says there, he said, I know also you have acknowledged us in part. In other words, there's still people there who believe in him, who trust in him. There's a group that is not. There's a group that's trying to turn people away from him and from his apostleship, and trying to say he said he would be here and he didn't do it and he didn't come. So we can't trust the Apostle Paul. Okay, that's what's happening. And then in verse 13, he says, "14, and also ye have acknowledged us in part that ye are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus." He said, "There's many of you there know that we're your rejoicing. You remember when I come. You remember when we preached. We told you about Jesus and taught you the Word of God." And he said, "I want to tell you, in the day of Jesus, one of these days, Jesus is going to come, and in that day, I want you to know you're going to be my rejoicing." Paul's going to look back at them and rejoice over the fact that he had a part of that ministry. He helped bring them to Christ. He taught them about Jesus, and he headed them in the right direction and got them saved and all of those things. You understand what he's saying? He said, "Boy, that's rejoicing." Yes, whether you understand or not, you're part of my rejoicing. I look out here at you and I see you, and I see you growing and I see you learning. And some of you I've led to Christ personally. I rejoice in that. Not the wrong kind of rejoicing. I think, "Oh God, thank you for the great privilege." And also I trust that I'm a part of your rejoicing as we've served the Lord together here, because that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. You're part of my rejoicing. Amen. There was some of them still there that loved him and helped him and was for him, but there was those who was aggravated because he just didn't do one thing. He didn't come when he said he would come. And it was not his fault. God did not permit it. Amen. God did not permit it. And so he says, and of course in verse 15, "And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before." You see, that's what I was going to do. He says that ye might have a second benefit. The Apostle Paul is not bragging here. He sounds like he's saying, "Listen, you come to me, I'm coming by, you get a benefit of it." What Paul is saying is a second benefit. You get another opportunity to learn and to grow. We'll bring the Word of God to you. We'll come and we'll fellowship together. It's another benefit for you because you'll get to hear the Word of God and we'll grow together once again. But he says, "And to pass by you and unto Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way towards Judea." This was his plan. This is what he had intended to do. But God did not allow it. God stepped in and stopped. I want to tell you, there's going to be times in your life when you make appointments that you cannot keep. It just works out that way. God doesn't allow that appointment to be kept. I'm not saying we ought to do it lightly. That's what the Apostle Paul tells them. He tells them, "Did I do it lightly?" No. But I'm just saying to you, men cannot always keep the appointments they make. Now, we oughtn't do that lightly. Listen to me. Well, no. I believe if we make an appointment, we ought to be there if all possible. Amen. I believe it's right. You know how Pastor believes about that. You know he believes in being on time and all those things. I believe it's right. You see, I believe that's right. That's good character training. Amen. I believe that. But you know, there is times when things interfere. I mean, there's things when providence takes over. And so that's what happened here with the Apostle Paul. And he says, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness?" In other words, did I use it lightly? Did I say this in a light manner? Did I say that I was going to come and not really mean that I was going to come? No, he says, "Or the things that I proposed, do I propose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay." You think I'm saying yea, yea about this, and when it comes around to it, I'm saying nay, nay. In other words, I'm double-minded. Apostle Paul said, no. He said, I didn't propose this according to the flesh. I meant to come. But God did not permit it. Now, as we go on, he says, "But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay." He said, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus," and that's Silas and Timotheus, "who was yea and nay, but in him was yea." He said, "I want you to know something. There may be times, it sounds like that there'll be times when it sounds like it's yea and nay." But what he's getting to is the next verse. He's saying to us, trust in the promises of God. They are never yea or nay. They are always yea. The promises of God always will be true. They will always take place. You and I may make some mistakes. You and I may not be able to keep our appointments, but God keeps his appointments. And he keeps his promises. That's tonight one of the things I want you to do tonight. I want you to have your faith, your trust in the promises of God Almighty. I want these young folk to leave our school one of these days. In fact, they can do so now if they want. No, I'm kidding about them. Oh, wasn't that good tonight? Yeah. Sister Hodge has been teaching a class, a sign language class for us this year, and doing a wonderful job. And I tell you, I was just thrilled with our young people. They're coming along. They're getting a little bit of the sign language. They're not going to be experts when they leave here. It's not designed to do that. But I'll tell you, I hope it gives them a hunger to want to go on with it. I think they've done just a wonderful, wonderful job. Amen. But I want, as I'm going back, I want, when they do leave here, one of these days, I want them to walk from this place loving our school and loving the preacher and loving Pastor Jerry and loving the Hodges and loving all these people that's helped them. But I want their trust to be in God. Because you know what? We can't go with you. We just can't go with you. We can't be there when you're going to make some of the greatest decisions of your life. You see, because you're going to have to step out. And I just want your trust to be in the promises of God. He'll never fail you. That's what he said here in verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. He said, that's what it is. God's promises is always yea. God will never fail you. He's with you all the time. When you walk away from this place and out of this school, God goes with you, and the promises of God will never change for the rest of eternity. Never will. So trust in the promises of God. You see, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying to these people. Yes, I know all these things happen. But listen, God never says yea and nay. It's never yea or nay with him. It's always yea. In other words, he's saying the promises of God are always yea. They'll always be kept. Amen. Boy, get that settled down into your heart. Because you're going to have times when, and as we all do, we'll get disappointed with people. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. If you haven't already, you will. Hang on. It's coming. You'll get disappointed with people, and people will get disappointed in you. They'll be disappointed in you. Yes, they will. But you never will be disappointed in God. Amen. His promises are always, absolutely always true. So I look at the promises of God, and I think about the forgiveness that God has given us. He told us that if we'd put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we'd be forgiven. You know, that's a yea. That's a promise. That's a truth. That's an amen. I mean, you can have faith and trust in God's promises, you see. And over in Ephesians, he said, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Amen. You know why? Because it's God's word. It's God's promise. We don't have, I could tell you that. I'd say, I forgive you. And you might wait up and say, it might be yea, it might be nay. But I want to tell you, with God's promises, it is never wrong. It's always true. It always will be. Your faith, your trust is in God. Amen. Over in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, 18th verse, it says, Christ has suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us, where? To God. That's an amen, brother. He suffered. He's done all that needs to be done. And it's the truth of the word of God. I think about the wonderful scripture that says that Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. I can say amen to each one of them. He is the way. Amen. He is the truth. Amen. He's the life. Amen. It's the promises of God, you see. And you can say amen to those because it's God's promises. Man give you something like that and you can't say amen to it. You don't know for sure, you see. But God's promises are always true. So as you grow and get older and step into adulthood and get ready to go into life, don't you ever forget God's promises are always hold true. Amen. That's where we want your trust, your faith, amen, in him, you see. All right, I believe something. I believe that we all need to learn to get some convictions about us, convictions about life. I really believe that. According to the Bible, we need to stand on some things, some convictions that God will do this, and God said he would do it, and we will, and he will do it, and we're going to stand there because God said that. I believe you need convictions, what you will do, what you won't do, according to the Bible. Amen. Get your convictions from the Bible. Oh, how we need young people. We need older folk too, but we need young people going out from this place, believing in God, trusting in God, having some convictions, a Bible convictions of what God says that we ought to do and what we ought not to do. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm just saying to you folks, we need to get back and trusting God's promises. Now let's don't take them and read them and say it's this way, maybe because it's the way we want it to be. Take them as they are. The promises of God. Take the word of God as it is. Don't play with it. Don't deal with it. No. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. Take the word of God and know that those promises will always, always be. Look what he says in verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you is in Christ. And of course he goes on and he talks about and hath anointed us is God. It's God who has established you. Folks, he's the one that established you as a child of God. He's the one who saved you. He's established you, and he talks about established us with you. He's talking about the church there at Corinth. We've been established together as a congregation. That's a wonderful thing. That's a blessed thing. And he said, but it's God that done that. And he said, it's God who anointed you. It's God who, when you got saved, let the Holy Spirit of God come into you and anoint you with the power of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's God that did that. I can't give you power. I can tell you where you can get it. But I can't give you power. But God can. See, I'm to preach about it. I'm to tell you that God is great and God is wonderful. And you can trust him in every area of your life. And God goes on, and the word of God goes on to say that not only in verse 20, in 22 he says, and who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. He said it's God who done this. God gave the Holy Spirit of God to seal us unto the day of redemption. You don't have to worry about tomorrow as far as salvation is concerned. You're sealed. You're his forever. When we bought our place, we certainly had to put down some earnest money and get ready to purchase it. But I want to tell you, God says, I gave you the Spirit of God to guarantee that I have purchased you. You're mine. And you have the Spirit of God in you. Who did that? God did that. You have the Spirit of God, and you have a guarantee from God that you're his. He's purchased you, and nothing can change that. Nothing. Whew. It's God that does it. Amen. Oh, have your trust and your faith in God Almighty, you see. You see, in life and even in Christianity, I don't want to say there's just two types, but you'll notice a lot of times a certain type of people, they're like the chaff blown away by the wind. They have no stability about their Christian life. I can't tonight give you all the reasons for that, but there's reasons for that. But they just have no stability about their Christian life. They're like the chaff that's just being blowed about, you see. And they say they have Christian principles, but sometimes those can be forsaken for convenience sake. You see, you got to be careful about being blown around with every wind of doctrine. You see, your faith, your trust, your belief must be in God. You'd ask them, they'd call themselves independent fundamental Baptists. That's what they'd say they are. But I'm simply saying to you, to a lot of the things of the Word of God, they've never said amen to them. They've never said yea to them. Because the Word of God is just something they can pick up and they can do with or they can do without, and they can believe one portion and not the other portion, and they can take and pick and choose as they wish to do. But that's not the way God wants us to be. God wants us to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He wants our roots to go deep in Him. He wants us to have some stability about our Christian life. He wants us to be strong. It's like he says in Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That's what God wants. He wants you to have stability in your Christian life. He wants you to trust in him. It's the only way you're going to be able to have that stability is trust in God Almighty. Are you hearing me, folks? Trust in him, believe in him, you see. And so he wants us to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, you see. And you know why, if you're like that, you know why you're like that? There was a day when you said amen, not only to salvation in Jesus Christ, but there was a day when you said amen to the Word of God. And you said, it's going to be my standard. He's going to be my Lord, and I'm going to follow Him, and I'm going to walk with Him. There's stability in that Christian life, and that's what the Lord wants you to have. I want to tell you, He wants you to have a strong faith in God. Trust in Him. Amen. Listen to a verse of Scripture over in 1 John 5:4. He says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Listen, this is just wonderful. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You see, God wants your faith in God, not in man. Amen. Walk with men, love men, serve with men, help men, be a blessing to them. But trust and faith in God. I want to tell you something. That'll grow up a strong church. That'll grow up a strong Christians if they get their faith in God Almighty, and that's where it stays. Amen. You look to Him. Amen. So Apostle Paul was simply saying, yeah, I know all these things happened, and these people was aggravated at me because I didn't come, and all of that. But I just want you to know something. He was telling them, and he was telling himself. But the promises of God will never fail. That's what he was saying. Amen. See, because you're going to have problems too. Yeah, I know you may already, but you're going to have problems. And sometimes men, people is going to disappoint you. And you're going to disappoint them. It isn't a one-sided thing here. You're going to disappoint them. But God will never disappoint you. The promises of God is always yea. Now, you young people, remember that. When you grow up and get to adulthood and get out there on your own, don't you start trusting in this old world system and in men. You trust in God. Amen. He'll never fail you. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your precious kindness and goodness to us. And I trust, Lord, that your preacher told his people what you wanted me to tell them. I didn't have a very good way of putting it all over. God, I hope I got the truth that you wanted brought out. I want, as Apostle Paul wanted those there in Corinth, he wanted their trust to be in God and the promises of God, which are always true. And my desire here, Lord, I want that for the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want them to love you. And Lord, you know, I got thinking about that. And I realize that when these daddies get up tomorrow and go to work, oh God, you know they leave their family at home and they're not going to have anybody else with them but you. You'll go with them. And Father, when those dear mamas stay at home there and do the things they need to do, you know daddy's not going to be around. Although he loves them and cares for them, oh Father, but you'll be there. You'll be there. And Father, when these children get up and go to school, Lord, and all those things, they leave their security of their home. But, oh, Father, you're wherever they go. And, Lord, we just want all of us to trust in you, to believe in you, to put our faith and trust in your promises. And, Lord, we want to be faithful to you. We want to be pleasing in your sight. So I just ask that your will be done. Once again, you be honored, you be glorified. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.